Dear friends in our Lord Jesus Christ, I confess I'm sad. I'm sad when I think of dear friends who have suddenly lost their little child. I'm saddened by the divorce of friends who had been married for 15 years. I'm saddened to think of former church members I've taught who have now left the Christian faith. I'm saddened by families I love who have been torn apart by strife. I'm saddened to think of the tears of a woman whose husband was killed in a car accident, or of a husband who lost his wife to cancer. I'm saddened by hundreds of personal disappointments in ways that people I love have been broken. And then I'm also sad on a bigger, impersonal scale, too. I'm sad when I hear that the truckload of immigrants suffocated in the blistering heat of Texas, or of tens of thousands of young women who have been sold into the sex trade because of the greed of traffickers. I'm sad when I think of what it must be like to live in Gaza right now, ruined and terrified as it is by the arrogance and selfishness of leaders in Hamas. I'm sad when I think how many people are living in poverty and ruin and starvation and sickness because of the huge inequities of this world, often inflicted by others. I just want to turn off the TV or the computer screen and retreat into a little bubble of my own where I can shield myself from the brutal realities of what sin and Satan have done to this sad planet. As if that weren't enough, I'm also saddened by my own many failures to be the person I want to be. I disappoint myself in so many ways that I would find it hard to share with another human being. I wear sadness like invisible, painful clothes covering my body, clothes that have become as familiar to me as any that I see hanging in my closet. And then I come to church on this third Sunday in Advent, and someone lights a pink candle on the wreath of anticipation and explains to me that the pink candle can symbolize the joy that Christ has come to bring into the world. And I wonder, deep down, can it be joy? Can my soul begin to know gladness amid all the pain and destruction and sadness that marks life for people all over the world? Do you ever wonder the same thing? I'm glad the Lord has given us reason for that pink candle today, that this Advent season makes an allowance for sad hearts to hear a message of joy, for tears to be dried, and for hope to spring eternal. That message allows us to do spiritually what some of you may be doing physically at Christmas, when you go out and buy a new shirt and trousers or maybe a new dress for the occasion. That's what Isaiah tells us today. God gives us new clothes for Christmas and invites us to wear them. The prophet Isaiah is probably the best known and most dearly loved of the Old Testament prophets in the Bible for the ways that he would help Israel keep hope in the face of a very dark time in her history. Those times were dark by her own doing. It was a generation of God's chosen people that could be wrapped up in really two words, rich and ungodly. Military success had brought optimism, economic prosperity, and luxury. But the flip side of this is that God's people in Judah were not at all interested in spiritual matters. And it showed. Injustice ruled the land. The poor were being pressed down by the rich. Worship was an empty shell of rituals. Rulers relied on foreign alliances with Egypt and Assyria for their security, but not on the Lord their God. God did not even have their attention. It was a spiritually deadly time for these people who once were on fire for their God. They would soon be uprooted from their homeland and dragged into Babylon to consider their ways and return in their hearts to their God. So much did their God love them. Yet amid this prospect of sadness and punishment, God uses his prophet to promise that he would send a Savior. His servant, he calls him, his own son. In fact, in the last part of this prophecy, that servant reveals himself in five beautiful, comforting, cheerful songs that would be called servant songs. Can I remind you what the Savior would say to his fearful, saddened people? In chapter 42, the first of those servant songs, the Lord's servant is compassionate toward the bruised reed of Judah. Chapter 49, the Lord's servant will be a light for all the nations of the world. Chapter 50, the Lord God will help his servant and hold him out before mankind. Chapter 53, the Lord's servant will suffer for straying sheep and will be glorified. And chapter 61, which we're looking at today, the Lord anoints the Lord's servant to proclaim good news to the broken. Well, let's take a closer look at this fifth servant song today. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, it begins, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. What beautiful pictures of relief for those who knew they were facing captivity, hardship, and sadness. This Messiah servant, this anointed one of God, would bandage broken hearts and free captives and punish their enemies. He would dry tears and comfort the grieving. This promise includes returning the captive people to their homeland eventually. But the comfort goes way beyond that event, which would take place after 70 years in captivity. It's talking about God's mighty act of redeeming them and all the world from their destructive guilt of dying for his people in their place and for their misdeeds, and then pronouncing them forgiven for their sins by the penalty he paid. And now he compares the results of his saving work to giving his people new clothes to bestow on them, we're told, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Instead of the ugly, sad clothes of alienation from God they were used to wearing, like ashes rubbed on their heads in mourning and despair, the Messiah's work would clothe them with beautiful new clothes. In fact, God would look good because of the clothing he was giving them. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the Messiah says, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Like a beautiful oak tree, green, growing, and strong, God's people, forgiven, confident, joyful, would show the world just how great his salvation really is. Best of all, these clothes would come absolutely free for the having, paid for by the Lord himself. Now, who would deliver all these blessings? Jesus once stood in front of his home crowd in the synagogue of the town of Nazareth where he grew up, and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he turned to these very words and read them. Then he looked everyone in the eye and said, "Today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing." "I'm the one bringing these beautiful clothes to you," he was saying. "I will purchase you these garments of salvation. I am the one, the Messiah of God, your Savior, your King, your Lord. Trust in me." Some did, but many didn't, and they were ready to throw him off a cliff. To this day, Jesus calls all of us to look to him for that salvation and to truly enjoy the clothes he came to win for us. Ours is the attitude of faith that Isaiah reflected. "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Do you hear how the Lord would have you receive his free clothing of salvation? This might sound like an easy response. Who wouldn't want to wear new, beautiful clothes? But think of this from a different point of view. Imagine, for example, that the Cinderella story went just the way it was supposed to go. Cinderella gets to go to the prince's ball. She's beautifully turned out by her fairy godmother with a gorgeous dress and crystal slippers. The prince falls in love and chases her down. They get married and live happily ever after, except that she doesn't feel comfortable as a princess in her nice new clothes. And she decides to put on her old rag of a dress, return to her unkind stepmother, and clean cinders out of the fireplace for the rest of her life. What would you say to her? Cinderella, what are you thinking? How could you give up the love and the splendor that's been given to you? And she says, well, it's just not me. I'm more comfortable with my former life. No one expects much of me there. I don't really like my new clothes. Isn't that what we're saying? When we exchange the lovely robe of Christ's righteousness, for example, the pleasures of this world and a carefree life that says, I don't want anyone to expect anything of me. I don't want to be a prince or a princess. I don't want people to expect a godly life or an active role of serving my God and my neighbor. Something is desperately wrong in that case. It's a slap in the face to that prince who will give her everything for her happiness. Maybe she needs to re-examine her new identity, embrace it, and not crave for the old ways, which really were not happy ones at all. There were people who wanted to return to slavery in Egypt rather than face the adventure of getting established in the Promised Land. And there were also people who chose to stay in exile in Babylon permanently than face the new life of rebuilding Jerusalem and awaiting their Savior. And you could say there are plenty today who are more comfortable with their old clothes of worldliness and promiscuity and addictions and greed and family animosity rather than wearing the new clothes of righteousness and peace and joy freely given them by the Savior. Clothes that display God's gracious splendor. Clothes that proclaim to the broken, my God rescued me from myself, and He will rescue you too. Get to know Him. Wear His clothes. Will you wear your new clothes? Will we let Him give us His joy? It is sheer pride which causes human beings to say, I don't want the clothes He has for me. That says, I don't necessarily want the happiness He purchased. See the beautiful garment of salvation which Jesus has bought you at great expense. Put off the rags of sadness. Let Him put on you the crown of beauty and the oil of joy and a garment of praise. O Zion's daughter, rise to meet your lowly King. Nor let a faithless heart despise the peace He comes to bring. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free with Father, Spirit, ever one, through all eternity. Amen.